Moncrief on News Talk.
Do the different generations judge each other? More particularly, does each generation think the generation beneath them are lazy and a bit useless? Ross Frenet is CEO of Moonshot, a company that works to end online harms. Ross, good afternoon to you.
It's great to see you. How are you getting on?
Is Gen Z the most hated in history, do you think?
I mean, no, I guess that would play into the exact point I was trying to make, that they're not. Is it every generation, going back to the Egyptians, going back as far as you can, count, is convinced that the youth these days are going to ruin everything and we're all doomed. And you know what? We're not. So you see the same thing happening with Gen Z that happened with millennials, happened with Gen X. It's as predictable as clockwork.
Yeah. Now, but at the same time, and you're right, but a lot of what's aimed at Gen Z feels almost like a campaign. Like every morning, the editorial team of the Daily Mail gather together and think, what's another way we can slag off Gen Zs for? And I wonder where that comes from.
I mean, I'm sympathetic to media outlets that are trying to stay afloat in an age of social media. And it comes because that's what people click on. That's what people share, because you will click on and engage with the things that play into your prejudices. And hearing that you are hardworking and wonderful and kids these days are useless. Brilliant. It's great crack, because it makes all the problem the young people's fault. And you say that it sounds like a campaign with Gen Z. I'm a millennial. I remember waking up every day and we had caused all the world's problems. We killed mayonnaise.
Oh, did
you?
Here.
Mayonnaise
wow.
is gone.
Yeah, get
there
off.
No mayonnaise
get out of here, Ross, you monster.
But seriously, like the exact talking points. I was just talking to a member of my team recently who's Gen Z, 22 years old. And when I said, you know, millennials were too addicted to our social media. We didn't know what we were doing. We didn't work hard. They were genuinely shocked, because the managers that they were hearing from were millennials themselves. So it was like, yeah, people said the same thing about us, and people said the same about Gen X.
Mm. But did each, and you can track this back historically, in each time period, did the older generation worry about the younger generation for different reasons?
Yeah, they did.
In that, you know, look at their long hair, look at their crazy bell-bottom pants and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, or look at their short hair, you know. Yeah. Like, I always find the kind of stuff on military is hilarious as well. You know, there was a point at which the British military, you had to be clean-shaven. Then there was another point where you had to have a moustache. So, you know, each generation kind of does this. Yeah, so this generation, God, it's all TikTok. And with their TikTok dancing, they're doing this stuff. And previously, then before that, it was, it was Facebook. And now the only people on Facebook are your kind of aunts and uncles and grandparents. And then before that was MTV. There were congressional hearings in the 1950s, congressional hearings about what comic books were doing to the youth's brains. And we all need to figure out this thing about comic books. And even when printing came around and became more popular for people to have books, there were opinion pieces written in newspapers in the 1700s and the 1800s about how novels were ruining young people's brains. They're reading too many novels. I can just imagine a druid when people started to actually write things down, saying, God, these people writing things down is ruining young people's brains because no one has to memorize things anymore. So it happens every time.
Yeah. Oh, no, I think, like, Socrates and Plato were dead against having writing things down for exactly that reason.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Is there some deep psychological reason for this? Is it a certain generation looks at a younger generation and think they're going to replace me?
I guess there's a few things going on. I think that's probably there. My theory is also that you tend to generalize negative traits in outgroups. So whether that be, you know, ethnic groups or age groups or whatever, if you see, you know, if an Irish person sees one English person doing something wrong, you'll say, God, well, the English are like that. Whereas if you see an Irish person doing something wrong, be like, Jesus, he's some idiot. And you do the same with generations, right? So we can all think of, when we were 20, someone who was useless. But we don't say that proves our generation's useless, because you think, I'm not useless. Whereas, you know, if you see a 22-year-old today and they're awful, or, you know, for whatever reason, then you immediately generalize it. And you immediately say, you know, kids these days are terrible. And sure, didn't I hear a story the other day about a useless employee? I'm like, Yeah, like some people are useless. There's useless 50-year-olds too. So I think it's generally just around painting broad brushstrokes when it's negative connotations around groups you're not a part of.
Yeah. Now, I mean, when you're able to get over your chronic addiction to social media, doesn't social media amplify precisely that idea? That idea that you can take one example of something and then generalize it out into a blanket declaration about a generation or even a nationality or anything?
It does, yeah. And I find this kind of funny as well, because you end up, you know, the work I do spends a lot of time talking about terrorism, political violence, and I work a lot with you know, a lot of my team are Gen Z. And I would sometimes hear, and we do a lot of work in the States, I sometimes hear people talking about, well, TikTok is radicalizing. And like, listen, there's issues with TikTok, there's issues with social media. But it wasn't 22-year-olds looking at TikTok that stormed the US Capitol. You know, it was people in their 50s who'd been consuming conspiracy theories on Facebook. There's a problem we need to talk about, which is around the spread of misdis and malinformation. That's something I work on every day, around terrorism, around the mental health issues. But they're not specific to certain generations. These are problems of how these platforms are built. And they're not built by Gen Z. They're built by Gen X, millennials, and largely the people making the money off it are baby boomers. So
yeah. Oh, no, I mean, my point was is that this affects us all to a certain extent,
this tendency to
generalize. Having said all that, though, generations are different from each other.
Yeah.
And I think, I forget now, it was maybe in the 50s the term the generation gap was first coined. But there does seem to have been a trend where, you know, different generations have differed from each other for all sorts of different reasons.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And actually, if you look at, there's an interesting intersection here with how technology develops as well, is the speed at which new technologies come about and replace the old ones is accelerating all the time. So the cultural touchstones that different generations have with one another and the way in which they exchange information are actually, decreasing. They're getting narrower and narrower, because if you reminisce now about, you know, Bebo, most people look at you sideways, right? Like, as a generation that I knew, but there's, you know, 5-10 years where that was a big thing. Whereas now things are replacing themselves much quicker. So generations are different. There's no doubt about it. And they're probably going to be more different as time goes on. But it's important we don't attach too much moral kind of opprobrium to that and say, because they're different, they must be less than us. And, you know, this is the kind of stuff, it's kind of funny when you talk about, like, you know, Gen X and millennials giving out about Gen Z. But like, as a trend, it's really not great to look at people who think a little bit differently and dress a little bit differently and assign kind of moral flaws to that. It's something I think is quite insidious, and it's something we need to guard against.
Oh, no, it's crazy. I'm a boomer. To me, it's just like two sets of young people slagging each other off over their shoes.
Yeah, we'll gang up against you, like. That's right. Yeah.
Someone texts in to say, I'm a millennial who has hired several Gen Z workers. I do think the stereotypes are true. A lot of young workers don't do phone calls. They leave on time. Oh, my God. And don't prioritize work. I started working in the recession and we felt lucky to have a job, whereas this generation really take everything for granted. In some ways, I'm jealous and admire their attitudes, but I do feel millennials work harder.
Yeah, I mean, you and everybody else, right? I find this fascinating. So like, there's two things, right? As I do think that Gen Z are better at setting boundaries. And I do find that, I actually find that quite liberating. Like, even the texter there said they leave on time. Like, oh no, that sounds like a good thing. And like, people who set boundaries in a workplace are actually really healthy for that workplace. So I'll give you an example. If you're in a creative industry and you're trying to generate new ideas and you're trying to push new boundaries, somebody who doesn't overly defer to their boss or their boss's boss is much more willing to then call something out and say, no, that doesn't work. So it creates an environment where you can knock ideas around much faster. And there's also just, frankly, like, I think some of the ways in which, millennials and Gen X and boomers approach work probably wasn't that healthy. It's good for people to leave on time. That's not a bad thing.
Ross, I'll leave you back to get back to your Bebo account. Thanks very much for speaking with us today. That was Ross Frenet there, CEO of Moonshot.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.